Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the January 26, 2025 service at Plymouth, the third Sunday after Epiphany. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of God's hands.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Let us rejoice in God's word.
Today, God's good word will be proclaimed as good news. Let us gather with gratitude to worship the Lord.
With hearts open to God's Spirit, we come to receive His truth and live His love.
Next is the hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
They are a marvelous display of His craftsmanship. Day and night, they keep on telling about God. Without a sound or word, silent in the skies, their message reaches out to all the world. The sun lives in the heavens where God placed it and moves across the skies as radiant as a bridegroom going to his wedding, or as joyous as an athlete looking forward to a race. The sun crosses the heavens from end to end, and nothing can hide from its heat. God's laws are perfect. They protect us, make us wise, and give us joy and light. God's laws are pure, eternal, just. They are more desirable than gold. They are sweeter than honey dripping from a honeycomb, for they warn us away from harm and give success to those who obey them. But how can I ever know what sins are lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults and keep me from deliberate wrongs. Help me to stop doing them. Only then can I be free of guilt and innocent of some great crime. May my spoken words and unspoken thoughts be pleasing even to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, Thy Word.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We are following the Gospel of Luke in this year C of the lectionary. And with it, we are focusing on a sermon series focused on following Christ's call, a journey of transformation. Today, I will focus on the phrase, hear the call. From Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I'm reading from the Message translation. Jesus returned to Galilee powerful in the Spirit. News that he was back spread through the countryside. He taught in their meeting places to everyone's acclaim and pleasure. He came to Nazareth, where he'd been raised. As he did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place. When he stood up to read, he was handed the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, to send me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce, this is God's time to shine. Jesus rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the place was on him, intent. Then he started in. You've just heard the scripture make history. It came true just now in this place. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. So following Christ's call, a journey of transformation, hear the call. In our passage, the phrase gospel was mentioned. It means good news. But for it to be called good news, for it to be called gospel, for all who hear it may not be good news for them. Because so often this good news is focused on those who haven't heard good news at all. They are usually the poor. They are usually the people in the fringes of culture. They're usually the folks who are left out, even living under bridges, even scrounging through the dumpster for food. This passage is for the third Sunday after Epiphany. And here in Luke, it's where Jesus, who he comes fresh after baptism, fresh after being in the wilderness and being tempted there, he begins his ministry. And as he arrives home, news of him being there and his reputation precedes him as he returns. The people are eager to hear this local boy who's become a renowned teacher, hoping in him and him being there, they see a sign, a miracle like those being reported in other places, like Capernaum. Water into wine. So on the Sabbath, Jesus enters the synagogue, and it's his typical place for being anywhere on the Sabbath. The leaders ask him to read from the prophets. He unrolls the scroll and reads from Isaiah's prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. There's that gospel phrase again. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor. And then he proclaims, startlingly most of all that he said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And the people, their reaction, they marvel. Their admiration soon turns to skepticism. The season of Epiphany, that time after Advent and before we enter Lent, God is made known in Christ. Now, we've used symbols like water to recall our baptism and light to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. But these symbols alone are not enough. They must lead us in transformation. And Jesus is beckoning us forward. Come, Come, follow me. Jesus' declaration in Nazareth is an invitation into that journey. Luke here emphasizes the Holy Spirit's presence in Jesus' life. He does it much more than any other gospel writer. And in this chapter alone, Jesus is filled with the Spirit at baptism. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's empowered by the Spirit in Galilee. And he's proclaiming by Spirit's fulfillment in Isaiah's prophecy. The people of Nazareth are there seeking evidence of God's presence, and they missed it standing right in front of them. Why? Perhaps simply because Jesus' message wasn't the kind of good news that they wanted to hear. They wanted something else told them. The passage that Jesus reads from Isaiah originally spoke to the exiles returning to Jerusalem, a people who had lost everything when they were drug off, and they finally make their way back. Isaiah's message is a message of hope amid the devastation, a reminder that God has not forgotten them. Similarly, the people of Jesus' time longed for deliverance from that oppressive rule of Rome. They were eager for good news, perhaps eager to hear that Roman rule would be done away with, done and gone forever. So what Jesus offered them was very different than their own expectations. The gospel is good news to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the oppressed. But good news for some can mean a challenge for others. The year of the Lord's favor, called Jubilee, was a time when everything was leveled again, that land was turned back to original owners, that debts were canceled, that all kinds of things were set back in balance once again in a year of Jubilee. But for those who profited from others' misfortune, for them it's disruption, not good news at all. Justice always unsettles those in power. We see this in our world today. Economic and social systems perpetuate inequality. And often, we just go along with it and we comply. We benefit from the status quo in ways that we may not even recognize. So the call of Jesus is not just about leveling things up, not just about hearing good news, but also about stepping into it. Participate in justice, mercy, and transformation. I find it unique to be standing here reading from this passage that proclaims good news to those who've been pushed down for so long. After a week of a new president being sworn in place and already orders for those who are most vulnerable in our midst to be deported, sent back to wherever they came from. Interesting that this sermon would be scheduled for now. Luke tells us all eyes in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. What if we did the same? What if we truly fix our gaze on Christ and what Christ is doing in our midst? My hunch is I think we'd see the world differently. Instead of focusing on divisions, we would see the humanity in each other. And instead of turning away from injustice, we would confront it. We recognize our part in systems that harm others, and we would take action to change that. I like the way that Dominic Girard says, there are no disposable people in the kingdom of God. When our eyes are fixed on Christ, we begin seeing each other as a brother, a sister, part of our family. And the gospel calls us to live in a way that affirms the worth of each person. So when we fix our eyes on Jesus, good news is truly good news for everyone. As we move forward and look forward to next Sunday, we will handle the passage just beyond where this is, where those who are gathered in the synagogue and hear Jesus speak, they will ask the question, is this Joseph's son who says these things? And their response reveals their reluctance to embrace the full implications of Jesus' message. Jesus is revealing things, and Epiphany is all about revelation. So as we recognize Christ's presence, we're invited into transformation. We're invited by those precious words, "Follow me." Jesus calls us not to hear the gospel, but to embody it, to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty and justice. This is our journey of transformation. Hear the call into it. May we, fixing our eyes on Jesus, not simply ask, "Is this Joseph's son?" but rather declare, "Let me show you God's son. Believe the good news." In the week ahead, we'll have a chance to do that with people we are very familiar with and people we may meet for the very first time. We are being called to follow Christ and to be transformed. Hear that call and pass that call on to others.
Next is the hymn, "Surely the Presence of the Lord." Next is the hymn, "The Church's One Foundation."
church at rest. Yet she on earth has union with God the Creator, and mystics in communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the weak and lonely, may live eternally.
May the Lord's face shine on you. May God's presence be with you each and every day. May grace mark your life. May compassion be your steering guide. And from this place, spread the good news. God loves all. My friends, go in peace. And let us sing as our sending song, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
Next is the hymn, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."